to you for coming and helping us celebrate yesterday. And Gwen wanted to make sure that I made mention of the folks that helped with the refreshments. If you brought stuff to help out with that, really do appreciate that, and the cards. And we had a really good time last night after we got home, going through those and reading the responses. And thank you for the gifts and the cards that you gave. Appreciate that very much. I promised some folks, because they came to my 50th anniversary, that I'd try to come to theirs. But I'll be real old if they stay married 50 years, and so I might not make it. But if I'm still around, I'll maybe they'll push me in. Also tonight, we have Aubrey and Kelton coming to share with us about world missions. And they haven't been here in a while, and they're going to be able to share their mission views and ideas with us. And so I hope that you'll come tonight and be a part of that. Be stay abreast of what is going on missionally. We've been trying to do a little educating in that area by showing you some videos of what Southern Baptists are doing across the globe. And so I hope that you've come a little more aware of that as we've looked at that. I know it always helps me to be refreshed. So if you would come tonight and be a part of what is going on, we'll meet at 6 o'clock as usual, instead of having the prayer time like we normally would after the worship service. We'll Kelton and Aubrey will be sharing with us. Did I get everything? Pretty good, huh? Yeah. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 17. Luke 17. I've been trying to make my way to Luke 19, but I just can't do it. I keep getting detoured along the way and hitting these spots that I think that we need to look at. So this morning we're going to look at the 10 lepers. And one of the things that I was taught early on in Bible study was that when you study the Word of God, you need to think what the setting was when this took place. What was going on in the country, in the area? What was geographically, what was it like where this took place? What did it mean to the people that were gathered at that time when this event took place? What did it mean to the disciples and all those that were gathered around that saw this event take place? Hundreds, perhaps thousands of folks that either witnessed what took place or they heard about it for sure. What about the families of those that were personally involved in this event? What about the families of the lepers? When the lepers were able to go to the priest and the priest pronounced them clean, and them for them, perhaps it had been years. They were in the process of dying. And they had joined a leper colony, or at least these other 10 men who had leprosy. And they were staying together and they were dying together. Their bodies were in the process of death. And then they were cleansed. And they were able to go to the priest. And the priest was able to look at their body, to look at their skin and their faces, and to examine them and to be able to pronounce, "You have been cleansed. You don't have leprosy any longer." And so They would go back. They were then able to come back into society. They were then able to come back to their families. What did that mean to their families? What about the children that had not known a dad for several years and now the dad is back in that place? Are you getting the same picture from this that I'm getting? Because that's what happens in an individual's life when God comes in and He takes over in their life. When Jesus changes people's hearts, that's what takes place. What did it mean to them? What does it mean to us as a church, as a group, cooperatively? What does that mean? What does this mean for us as we continue on, as we are taking steps forward until Jesus comes again and raptures the church, as the church busies itself with the gospel, with the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ to all those that are lost, to those that we're working with, to those that we're spending time with, to those that are in our own house? What does it mean to us as a church? And then we have to focus the attention down to what does this mean to us individually? What does it mean to you individually to read this story? How is God speaking to you? You know, that's how He speaks, did you not know? I mean, He speaks in your heart. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through other people sometimes. But especially He speaks through His Word into our hearts. I like that term, don't you? That when we read the Bible, it begins to read us. We read it, but more importantly, it reads us. So with that in mind, I want us to look at this 17th chapter of Luke. And I want us to begin with the 11th verse. And let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I bet Brother Chuck could share a lot of stuff with us about that. But when we were over in John, the 4th chapter, we found out a lot of stuff about Samaria. Here is a group of people that are rejected by the Jews. Jesus calls this guy a stranger. They're rejected. Do you think that there might be folks in our society, maybe in your own life, that you reject? They're not worth it. They're not worth our time. They're not worth us giving ourselves to them. We're just a little more important than other people. We've reached a higher level. But here Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem and He goes through Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why was that? You know why, don't you? Yeah, that was the law. That was the law. They stood far off. And they cried out, "Unclean, unclean, don't come close to us. We're lepers. You might catch what we have." So I don't know, Brother Chuck probably knows the footage, but there was a length of space that they had to give other people. They could not. Can you imagine living out your life in that kind of manner? But they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, folks, I want to tell you today that no one's ever said that and not got mercy from Jesus. My mind goes back to when old Peter was sinking. You ever been there? And he said, Lord, help me. And when he saw them, Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Is that strange? Go show yourself to the priest. He didn't say, come and I'll touch you. Because there was those that he touched, wasn't there? There's, y'all getting tired standing yet? Stay with me. We'll get it read. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, you might want to underline that. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, boy, here's a kicker. This is a kicker now. One of them, are you getting it? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But we hear about them guys, don't we? And Jesus answered and said, I put an and in there, it wasn't there. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, this Samaritan. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You can be seated. If I could give this message a title, I love the story. I love this story. I would either call it, Where Are the 9? Or I would try to entitle it, Ingratitude. No thanks. No praise you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. Ingratitude. I want us to see three things in this passage as we look at it in depth this morning. One, the fortitude of the 10. And you say, well, what do you mean? They had this stick to it about them. They had this to try to find a way out, to discover an end that would bring them out of this mess that they were in. They were seekers. They were looking for something to help them in this dramatic situation they were in. I remember back a few years ago, several years ago, when I was having lots of back trouble, I got a little bit depressed. And someone asked me about how things were going with my back out on the front porch. And I suppose the answer that I gave wasn't a real good answer. It was a discouraging answer. I said something, I don't know what I said, something about I've give up or I'm through or nothing works. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Judy Fultz was coming out the door. And here's Judy with severe cancer. My problem was a zero. And she looked at me and said, I tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to give up. You are not going to give up. And I tell you, that wrenched my heart. That reached farther than my nerves. It reached right down into my heart and gripped my heart. Because if anyone could tell you not to give up, this gal could tell you not to give up. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord sent us to Florida, and we got some surgery and got that took care of. Ingratitude, fortitude of the 10, willing to do whatever it took to take care of the situation, to move forward in what is going on in our life, in what we've been dealt, that we are moving forward in that. The attitude of the 10, you know, they had a different attitude. You understand that? Nine of them had this attitude. One of them had this attitude. The gratitude of the one. Ingratitude is a lack of gratitude. Insensibility to or ill return for kindness. You want to be there? You've seen folks like that? Don't you just love to be around folks like that? The fortitude of the 10 are the condition of the lepers. These men had contacted the most dreaded disease of their society. The AIDS epidemic would be something in our own society that would be comparison. I think that we don't hear as much now as we did a few years ago about that. I think that we might have something that's taken its place, at least in our little society that you and I live in. It's called the drug scene. It's meth and amphetamines that are capturing the minds and the hearts of not just young people, but people of all ages that have gone the wrong direction. This leprosy is described as a hideous disease. It slowly eats away at the body, erasing the facial features first, then the fingers, the hands, are frozen into claws before they simply fall off. The feet are filled with sores and become bandages on stumps before they're left behind. And the odor is atrocious. The appearance was ghastly. They suffered the fate of a long, slow, agonizing death, lived out in some leper colony, isolated from friends and family. Sounds like a great life, doesn't it? Verse 11 tells us that this one that came back and gave thanks in this 17th chapter, he was of the communities of Samaria. So Luke gives us the location of where they, geographically, of where they were. Jesus called him a stranger in verse 18. This is a perfect picture of lostness. It seems like that we have lost our understanding of what it means to be lost. In Ephesians, would you look at that with me? In Ephesians 2 and verse 12. When here Paul is describing what it is like to be outside of Israel, And he says that at that time, that is before you became a Christian, before you saw the truth, before you saw the light, stories told of Hank Williams had a popular song back in his day called "I Saw the Light." No more darkness, no more night. Stories told about that song when Minnie Pearl asked him one night at the Grand Ole Opry in a private setting if he had seen the light. And he said, "I'm not sure there is a light." Well, I'm here to tell you, dear friends, that there is a light. And Hank Williams knows now there's a light. I hope that he saw the light. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, I can't hardly wait to get to this part of the story in Luke. I've lost my place here. Luke 17. I want us to look at the attitude of the lepers. Here the scripture says, as they went. What verse is that? As they went in 17. And it came to pass, verse 14, and it came to pass that as they went, verse 14, did you find it? As they went, they were cleansed. Now just think about that. As they went, they were cleansed. It's at the point of the command, they were still lepers. It was as they went. It was as they went. Did you get the point? It is as they went that they were cleansed. Because the Lord's going to bring this home in our lives here. It's as they went that they were cleansed. You see, we want this relationship with God to be on His part only. That, Lord, just come down and strike me down and do this work in my life. You know, if it turns out whenever we're doing wrong, it turns out to be God's fault then. Because we want Him to be the one that's going to just blow up inside of us and make us do what is right. When God has given us this choice, we have a free will in this situation. You and I have a free will to make decisions all of our life. You and I are going to make decisions until we die. And some of those decisions are going to be those that are the right decisions. Some of them are going to be wrong. But I want to tell you, dear friend, those wrong decisions that you make is not God's fault. It's yours. And then you have to live with that decision that you've made. If a man gets drunk and drives down the road and has an automobile accident and he loses his arm or he loses his leg because of a decision that he made to drink alcohol, and maybe he kills someone else or maybe she kills someone else because of that decision that they made, I want to tell you, dear friend, that that person is still dead and that person still doesn't not have an arm or a leg. It's because of a decision that that individual made. Someone asked me when they heard that illustration that I give on sin, about when a person, even if he gets saved, he still has an arm missing. He lives the rest of his life without an arm. Someone asked me, what about when he gets to heaven? Does he get his arm back? I believe he does. Many of us know nothing about the journey to the priest. Are you hearing me today? I'm including myself here, you understand. Many of us know nothing about the journey to the priest. Are you getting it? Many of us know nothing about the journey to the priest. Oh, well, I didn't think it'd work. It was as they went, you understand? It was as they went. There's a great passage over in the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, actually one verse that I want us to look at. Romans 4 and verse 17. You know what? This passage is talking about Abraham. You know about the story of Abraham and Sarah. They were past the age of having kids. God said, you're going to have a kid. And so, story begins here, before him whom he believed, even God. But now here, in the last part of this verse, what I want us to see. Who quickeneth the dead. You have to understand what he is talking about here. He's talking about the deadness of Abraham and Sarah's bodies as far as reproduction is concerned. Who quickeneth the dead. You know what the word quicken means. It means to bring it back to life. Well, as the word that the King James uses here, it means brings it back to life. Who quickeneth the dead. But well, here's a great part about this. And he calleth those things which be not as though they are. And he calleth those things which be not as though they are. You see, most of us live our lives in such a way that if it's not, it's not. Well, it's just the way it is. It is what it is. But I'm telling you that it is what it is does not work with that verse. He calls those things that are not as though they are. That's the reason that in an individual's life when they receive Christ as their Savior and He comes in and renews everything, all things have passed away, the Bible says, and behold, all things are become new. He calls those things that are not as though they are. He wasn't a man of God, now He's a man of God. He didn't live for Jesus before, but now He lives for Jesus. He's on fire for God. He calls those things that are not as though they are. And the past may be filled with all kinds of recklessness and things that destroy life. It can be filled with that's just uncomprehendable as far as you, I can't even spell that word, as far as you and I are concerned. But as far as God is concerned, He changes. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they are. As they went, verse 14 says. True faith is as you go. Romans 1 tells us it's from faith to faith. If we take this step of faith, then the Lord gives us faith to take this other step of faith. In whatever that is. In whatever it is that He is calling us to do. Whatever He is moving us to do. We take one step of faith. He gives us the faith to take the next step of faith in whatever that is. So it's exactly what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. In Ephesians 4 and verse 22. You may know this passage. That you put off concerning the former conversation. That means your way of life. I don't know what's happened to... I don't know if folks torn this out of their Bible. That they think that whenever they come to Jesus that their lives don't change. What in the world has happened to us? That you put off the former conversations. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And let me tell you something, dear friends. Youth has no excuse. The Bible says that even a child is known by his goings. Even a child is known by what he does, whether that act is good or whether that act is evil. The Bible says that there comes a time in everyone's life, in every young person's life, there is a time that the children would eat sour grapes and the adults' teeth would be set on edge. Their parents' teeth would be set on edge. But there comes a time in that child's life that he eats sour grapes and his own teeth are set on edge. And a lot of times we put ourselves in the place of helping them along with their sin because we feel sorry for them. Putting money in their pocket, which would be the wrong thing to do. Bonding them out of jail, which would be the wrong thing to do. Let them pay for the consequence of their sin, that they might learn something. And when you enable them to do what God has called them not to do, you become a part of the sin yourself. Did I read 4:29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God means for us to have a changed life. As they go, as they went, you get the picture? You see what's going on? They're on their way to the priest. They were on their way to the priest. And then this guy goes, it's gone. It's gone. The leprosy's gone. And the Bible says that he turns and with a loud voice. Have we forgotten what it's like to be saved? Woo! What's happened to us? I tell you, church, we ought to be a shouting church. When somebody gets saved, we ought to get beside ourselves. I don't know how you get beside yourself, for sure. You're over here, and then you're over here. But I tell you, and we're not all made the same. I mean, I'm a loudmouth. Don't anybody say amen. Quit saying that. Not everybody's made the same. Not everybody's going to express themselves in the same way. And I'd be wrong to judge you if you didn't express yourself to the Lord in the same way that I express myself to the Lord. I don't care whether you do or not. But here he came. Man, I mean, can you get it? Can you think of what he was going through? Man, he was having a spell. He's doing more than the WMU shuffle when he came back. I'll tell you, he was doing the dead man shuffle. He'd been dead, now he's alive. I mean, I think he had more of an expression than old Lazarus did when he come out of the grave. I don't think he ever got over it. Woo! I don't think he ever got over it. I don't think his family ever got over it. I don't think his wife ever got over it. I don't think his kids ever got over it. We get over stuff too easy. We've practically forgot 911. All those lives that were given. Vietnam. World War II, World War I, Korean War. lives that were destroyed and lost. Where are the nine, Jesus said? He took note of the one that returned to give him praise. I think it means something to him. We would think that everyone who would pray would also praise. When you ask for Jesus, when you pray to Jesus and have a prayer request and Jesus answers it, you'd think that praise would come out of that. Matthew Henry, some of you use his commentaries on the Bible. I have one in my study. The story is told of him that he wrote this in his diary after he was robbed. And he said, "How can I be thankful for being robbed? How can a man bring himself to be thankful to be robbed?" And he said, well, he'd never been robbed before. He could be thankful for that. They took his wallet, not his life. He could be thankful for that. He was the one who was robbed, and he wasn't the one doing the robbing. He could be thankful for that. You see what happened to the 10th one, the one that came back that wasn't a part of the nine that just went on their way. We don't know what happened to them. We only have a record of the one that came back. There was an extra healing for the 10th leper. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. When you started walking, you got over it." Did you get it? When you started walking, you got over it. The other got a new body, but this one received a new heart. Choices. Choices to start walking. Choices to make our way to the priest for the healing, for the difference in our life. Now I'm going to do something to you that I'm going to give you something that you're not going to be able to get off your mind all evening. You're not going to be able to. When you come back tonight, this is still going to be on your mind. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. All you got to do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. You can't drive around with a tiger in the car. You can't drive around with a tiger in the car. You can't drive around with a tiger in the car, but you can be happy if you've a mind to. All you got to do is set your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. You can't go fishing for in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. All you got to do is set your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. No, you can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. Now, you'll be singing that tonight when you come back to church. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all your life is what you do with Jesus. I want to give you an invitation today to make your mind up to serve God. To put the world behind you, the cross in front of you, and accept Him as your Savior. Let's stand together.